everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio, engineering and producing on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, April the 29th, 2019, as we get ready here this week to welcome in the merry month of May, one of my big months, because not only do I celebrate my wedding anniversary on Cinco de Mayo, but then we take our kind of our big vacation in May. So all of that's coming up. Exciting stuff. We had quite a discussion here on the Buckmaster Show with the police chief, Chris Magnus, about red light runners. And the chief said it is time to revisit the red light cameras. And we've had a very spirited discussion at the Bill Buckmaster Facebook page. Lots of comments, lots of opinions. And oddly enough, maybe not so oddly, I'm up at coming into work at River and Swan, getting ready to make that left turn onto Swan, and had the green arrow and everything, and coming roaring through the intersection, probably going about 80 miles an hour, is this pickup truck. Barely missed me. So it was so weird. We've been focusing so much on red lights, but maybe it is time to reopen that discussion. It's Buckmaster on 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted local news and talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Podcasts available for you 24/7, buckmastershow.com. Live line number open for you right now. It is the Monday Political Face-Off, the live line number 790-2040, the Face-Off today, presented as it is every Monday by one of our legacy sponsors, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, been with us since we launched the program the first week in January 2011. Family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. With me on the Monday Political Face-Off, seated to my right, Bruce Ash. Bruce is in his fourth term as the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and we welcome back to the show. It's been a while. Aaron Rottenstein is with us, a fine young man, 34 years old, who's been very active in politics in his young life. He's the former treasurer of the Pima County Democratic Party. Aaron, welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot, and I'm sorry to hear your morning was so fraught, but I'm glad you got here in one piece.
That was really... I don't know how you gentlemen feel, Bruce and Aaron, about those red light cameras. Any opinions on that, Bruce?
Good luck getting them back.
That's probably very accurate.
Bill, if I could, just one more thing on Moe's Gallery.
Go ahead.
I'm not sure we've ever talked about it on the show, and that is that Moe also is very interested in art lighting.
Okay.
And he's actually doing a project for me that I'm a little delinquent on conferring with him on, but he actually has the ability to bring in new lighting solutions for people's art, not just the things that just sort of attach to the wall and hang over, but indirect lighting. And he does a fabulous job. Mm-hmm. And anybody who's been inside the gallery can see some examples of it. But this is something that Mo probably understands better than anybody else who does this sort of work in Southern Arizona. Uh-huh. He's really, really a smart guy.
All right. Aaron, you'll have to get over there and check that out.
Sounds great.
For your framing needs. Aaron, Bruce is a very prolific Facebook poster. I see all of Bruce's posts. And don't you think so? I mean, you post quite a bit, don't you,
Bruce? Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. But I noticed that you, Bruce, said that Hugh Hewitt, the talk show host, said that that it wouldn't even be close, the 2020 election, meaning Trump would not have as much trouble as a lot of people may think he will. What do you think, Aaron?
You know, I don't know whether it's going to be close or not, but the numbers and the things we're looking at just don't seem to really show that. When you look at the Midwest, whether it's Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Trump's trailing by more than 10 points. There was a poll out this weekend from Texas. Joe Biden, 50. Donald Trump, 49. Beto O'Rourke, 49. Donald Trump, 49. And it's not just across the country. It's here in Arizona, too. There was a Washington Examiner story this weekend. The Trump campaign scrambling to put together their campaign here. These aren't the types of things that an incumbent Republican does if this thing's already locked up 2 years in advance. We've got a lot of candidates running, a lot of really exciting candidates running up and down the ballot. I think it's going to be a good year for Democrats.
What do you think, Bruce?
Well, let me address Arizona for a second. We've had unprecedented support by the RNC and in the Trump campaign in 2016. Certainly the RNC was extraordinarily active in the 2018 midterms. And had it not been, you know, for sort of the spotlight election, I think that even with some of the victories that the Democrats achieved on the legislature side, as well as a couple of statewide posts, this would have been a very successful year. Or 2018 would have been a very successful year. We already have our Trump state director as well as our RNC state director who's in place. We've begun a very aggressive campaign for new voter registration as well as precinct committeemen recruitment and leadership training. Into the thousands of precinct committeemen being trained here in Arizona. This won't be a battleground state because the RNC and the Trump campaign is way out in front on this. Mm. I heard Brad Parscale, who's the campaign manager for the Trump 2020 reelect, on one of the Sunday talk shows yesterday. And it's at this point in time, it's impossible for any of the Democratic challengers, and I think there's 20 at this particular point in time, it's really impossible for them to focus on the things that Aaron's talking about. It's, you know, polls in April or May of the year before the election are about as useless as can be. And I think what we're seeing is the data work that the RNC has and the Trump 2020 reelect team has at its disposal. We're beginning to work numbers in the Midwestern states, as well as Nevada and New Mexico, and believe it or not, even in Colorado, where we think that we have an opportunity. And in fact, one of the interesting potential pickup states, believe it or not, is Minnesota.
Go for it.
Where we have, well, I take that challenge on, Aaron. You're entitled to feel your oats, but we're working very, very All hard. Right. We're working very, very hard in Minnesota to make the inroads, and a lot of that having to do with both health care reform as well as with the economy.
I'm actually really glad he brought up those two issues because I think that's what this election's going to be on. The Washington Post came out with a poll this weekend. 60% of American voters think that the economy is only working for people that already have, 66% of independents. And, you know, he mentioned some of those races that Republicans ended up as the losers on here in Arizona in 2018, like McSally ended up as a loser. I think healthcare is going to be the big issue here.
It was the reason, really, that she lost, I think.
Yeah, and we saw just this weekend that Donald Trump, you know, said that he wants to finish the job on Obamacare. Already 7 million Americans have lost their health insurance since Donald Trump took office. His new budget gets rid of protections for pre-existing conditions. It cuts $1 trillion nearly from Medicare, and it gets rid of subsidies that people are using on the Obamacare exchanges. Arizonans have lined up against this budget. Martha McSally is not standing with us, and it's why she's going to lose a second time.
How are the fundraising numbers looking in the Senate race? And that will have a lot to say about how Trump does in Arizona, right, Aaron?
I think the Senate race is really going to pull things here. You know, if we remember back to 2016, it took until, I think, Thursday evening after the election for them to call Arizona, which isn't, you know, the glowing report that Bruce has given us here. But the Mark Kelly campaign already has raised more than $4 million, more than doubling what Martha McSally's done. And let's remember, the only reason Martha McSally is in the Senate is because she's wholly owned by Mitch McConnell and Washington special interests.
Wow.
And the fact that she can't raise money, the fact that she's already spent half of it, I think is a real big warning sign for her campaign.
Hmm. She's having trouble raising money, are you saying?
Yeah, you know, she's always been a historically strong fundraiser.
Right, right.
She got doubled up this last quarter, and she spent half of it raising that $2 million. And so she's got less money in the bank now than Mark Kelly was able to raise from small donors here in Arizona. I think that's really telling where the electorate is in Arizona. And, you know, we don't have to go too far back to see data points on how Arizonans feel about Martha McSally.
Bruce?
Wow. Wow.
She's historically a good fundraiser.
It's,
and that's why my ears perked up when you said she did not have a very good quarter.
It is April. No. And okay. And frankly, the McSally campaign has hardly even got ginned up yet and running.
That would be a warning sign to me, because okay. Mark Kelly's been running really hard since day one.
Consider myself warned.
All right, let's take our break right here. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing presents our Monday Political Face-Off. Additional support comes from my favorite bakery in town. I don't know if, Aaron, you've been over there to Swan and Sunrise, northeast corner, to Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle.
It's great.
You've been up there because it's fairly close to your office.
It is.
Mona's now is serving a hot breakfast. Bruce, have you been by yet?
I haven't had the breakfast yet.
The hot breakfast.
No,
we were up there. We've been up there now 2 weekends in a row. They've got it up and running, and they've got all sorts of great opportunities there to enjoy. I had the blueberry pancakes and the chocolate chip pancakes.
Well, you like the chocolate chip cookies there too.
I love the chocolate chip cookies, and I also, now I'm really torn because I love the chocolate croissant that they do. But anyway, their bakery goods are fabulous. They're open right now, not only for breakfast, but lunch. Great sandwiches. Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise, monasdanishbakery.com is their website. Also at buckmastershow.com. We are so proud of the sponsors we have on this program. There's links to all of them on our website. 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation with Bruce Ash and Aaron Rottenstein on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing. Moe's located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Bruce Ash is here. Fourth term now as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. Aaron Rottenstein, who's been involved with Pima County politics, former treasurer of the Pima County Democratic Party. He's got a young family, though, and been so involved with work and family stuff. You kind of had to step aside, I think, from your Pima County Democratic Party activities, right?
Yeah, the party's starting at 5:45 each morning at the house here. So
there you go. How is the party, though? How are we doing? How are Democrats looking right now in Southern
Arizona?
We're
strong. We're energized. You know, Bruce was talking about...
Felicia Rotolini done as the chair?
She's brought in a lot of exciting people. Bruce is on the Republican National Committee. Mm-hmm. Since Felicia's taken over, we've added three or four millennials to the slated DNC members here. you know, people of color, females as well. We've, you know, been out raising the Republican Party pretty steadily. We're putting in the groundwork to have a really successful 2020.
Bruce, should the Republicans put a candidate up for mayor here?
Well, if we're going to do it, we need to do it super pronto, fast. I mean, there is a couple people running, but
whether they'll get on the ballot, whether they'll get the signature.
And I talked to John Holden over the weekend,
His effort to
on the ward only voting,
mm-hmm.
and you know, unfortunately, he hasn't had the success that he would have liked to have had, and right now. You know, over the past few years, I think it's been pretty discouraging within the confines of the city of Tucson to find a lot of interest amongst Republicans to run. I think on a countywide basis, we're seeing some differences. But, you know, I look at places like Graham County, mm-hmm. that up until 2016, it had always been a Democrat-dominated county party in terms of voter registration. Same thing in Pinal County. Today, in Graham County, there's only one Democrat elected official. All of the other countywide officials are Republicans. And interestingly enough, the fellow who is the one Democrat office holder actually switched parties from the Republican Party to the Democratic Party because he wanted to run for supervisor, and he lived in a Democrat-oriented district in Graham County. So, you know, sometimes folks get a little bit discouraged about our ability to make progress here. But looking at what's happened, not just in Graham and in Pinal County, but also in Gila County, and making great inroads in Coconino County, you know, there is a future. At some point in time, people just say, you know, we tried this for a long enough period of time, and it's time for a change. And look, the chief was on the show the other day.
He was on Friday, yes.
And, I mean, really, red light cameras at stoplights are going to be the big issue. When crime is what it is here in Tucson, police response times being what they are, we have a very brave and professional and extraordinarily competent team of first responders, both in the Tucson Police Department as well as fire and rescue, but there's just not enough of them. And if the mayor and council would decide to put the kind of resources necessary, I think Tucsonans would pay more taxes. They would gladly agree to pay higher taxes so that they would feel more safe and more secure. You know, it used to be the boundaries in Tucson were sort of 22nd Street on the south and probably Park Avenue on the west, maybe Speedway to the north, and let's say Swan Road to the east of safe zones. Those safe zones have been really deteriorating over the past, you know, 8-10 years or so, and it's disturbing. I live in the city.
Okay. Aaron, what do you think?
Well, I'm thrilled to hear Bruce say that higher taxes would benefit the infrastructure of our community.
But we have a very unique situation, as you know, Aaron, in Tucson, because nearly all of the revenue for the city has to come from sales tax. You know, there's some shared revenue, of course, from the state.
Yeah, shared revenue is a big issue here in southern Arizona.
And
I think we need to fight the Republicans at the legislature to make sure that Pima County residents are getting their fair share of shared revenue dollars from the state, which we're not. You know, Bruce is talking about counties all over the all over the state.
Mm-hmm.
We're working hard for those counties too. You know, a really good example is Mark Kelly's campaign has a really strong position on, you know, rural buy-in for Medicare on the healthcare side. But, you know, the counties you didn't mention are the, you know, strongholds for the election, not just statewide, but also in the legislature. Maricopa County and Pima County. We've nearly swept the legislature seats here in Pima County, and we're even starting to win seats like Chandler. And as a result, we're only one seat down in the state house, and you're going to see a really strong, concerted, well-funded effort to get that extra seat. Statewide campaigns, we're winning them where Republicans are losing them, not just at the state level, but at the federal level. Again, Martha McSally lost in 2018. And so, you know, the things Bruce is saying I completely agree with the differences. We got some data on our side on the Democratic ticket.
Well, unfortunately, Aaron didn't want to address the issues here in Tucson. The issues that we have here do have a lot to do with public safety in addition to roads and so on. I like what Mayor Rothschild has done. I think a lot of people admire him for the work that has occurred with respect to building up public safety infrastructure with new vehicles and the different equipment needed in order to have a strong first responder team. Certainly the road repair work, as well as, you know, in those bonds, and now, you know, looking at a continuation of RTA. These are all real positive signs. I think that there's a lot of trust that has occurred within the city of Tucson on those items. We really, though, have to continue to work hard in order to get more police, more first responders on the streets. And it is a problem. It's one of the things that keeps major employers away from Tucson, because they see what the crime statistics are. And we don't have to just rely upon what the out-of-towners see. I mean, look at what we have on street corners almost wherever you go. Think about walking into dollar stores and Circle K's and so on, wherever you're at almost in town. And it's sometimes, you know, a little bit insecure feeling that you have when you're in those areas. And you know, some of that is sort of criminal element. But part of that also, Aaron, and I think you have to agree, Tucson really has never attracted higher paying jobs. We have a lot of low-paying jobs and not enough people that are working at full employment.
And we've made huge inroads on that over the last few years. And I don't think it's just Jonathan Rothschild, although he's done a fantastic job. This is the first time in my adult life that we've had a completely Democratic city council and a Democratic mayor. And I don't think that should be underestimated. The reason employers are afraid to come, and it's not just Tucson, it's Arizona, is our education. And here in Pima County, here in Tucson, not just, you know, progressives that have always been there on these issues, but we're seeing the business community coalesce around the idea of early childhood education. It's an imperative, not just to bring those jobs, but to bring the kind of professionals, to maintain and keep the kind of professionals that are able to, you know, staff those jobs.
Aaron, are you talking about the county plans to seed early childhood education?
Yep.
Well, that operation is not going to happen. The county can't even keep the roads right. Why are we going to depend upon them to be running school districts? And if we're doing something like that, why aren't we working within the school districts and with the state legislature in order to get more early childhood education?
Well, I'm all for education spending, whether it's from the county, whether it's from the city, or where it, you know, really needs to start, which is the state legislature. Republicans have been in charge for 30 years here, and what we've seen is a systematic you know, just demolition of education and education spending in the state. It's this weekend was the year anniversary of Red for Ed, and you're seeing the anger, the desperation, and the sheer will of average Arizonans standing up to this legislature. And, you know, Doug Ducey, he made some big promises. They weren't far enough, but they were some big promises. And we're going to be there as Democrats, as education supporters, making sure that every step of the way he keeps those promises.
Well, let's look what happened with Red for Ed. We'll take a look just in the Tucson Unified School District. Red for Ed increases were meant for teachers, and teachers didn't get all of what they were promised. If I was a teacher, and I know plenty of folks who are teachers, they're not at all happy with the way that they were shortchanged. And as the legislature looks at continued funding, and as you know, the chairman of the Arizona Republican Party is in favor of a sales tax increase, which would add $500 million.
Is the legislature with her on that?
To state funding.
Is the legislature with her on that?
The Republican chairman of the state party is in favor of a sales tax for the purpose of state funding.
But, is it going to happen this session?
Aaron, just stay with me here for a second.
You guys have the keys. I'm asking you.
Wrap it up, Bruce.
Well, certainly, if we have Democratic support, it's probably going to happen.
All right, going to have to run. Aaron Rottenstein, good to see you
it's
again.
It's always a
Aaron.
Pleasure. Thanks
Thank
a lot.
Thank you very much. Bruce Ash
good
with
to see
us.
You.
On the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, Check out Moe's for all of your framing needs. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Coming up next, we'll talk politics, some more politics, with White House correspondent Steve Herman of The Voice of America. He'll join us from the White House right after we take the break. And I do want to talk about a couple of housekeeping things here. Steve Rivera's Eye on the Ball show today moves now to afternoon drive. Steve's on from 5 to 7. Yeah, I think that would be very good for Steve. And then we have Jennifer English's show, her newly created show, moving from five to seven now to 1 to 3. The show will be called Round the Table with Jennifer English. John C. Scott still from 3 to 5, and then that's the way it's. Dave, thank you, Bruce Ash, for mentioning that. Dave Ramsey is back in Tucson on KVOI. He's on 10:30 The Voice from 7 to 9. So those are the items coming up. So some changes here, I think, for the best. We'll be right back on Buckmaster.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
This is Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, where Tour of the Gila is now going on. It's a very challenging bike race, kind of an iconic bike race in the United States. The Gila has the feel of European racing with winding, narrow mountain roads in the Gila National Forest and the grassroots appeal of historic Silver City. So check it out, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. Bob, did I give you the wrong number for Steve Herman? Do you think you got him now? Okay. You don't? Okay.
I think it might be the wrong. I get funny noises.
Here's Steve's number, 202. You got that? 202-322-8521. All right. I think we have the wrong.
One more time?
Okay. Area code 202-322-8521. There you go. Check that out. Did we get that?
I am so sorry, Bill. I missed it.
You missed it. 202-322-8521. Meanwhile, I'll tell everybody about one of our great sponsors, Green Things. Green Things over at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, the 13-acre site, now home to Zocalo and all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village. Green Things, your place for all that great merchandise. It's greenthingsaz.com. Let's go now to Steve Herman, Voice of America, White House correspondent. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill.
Hey, you look great. I saw your Facebook post. You were all dudded up there for the White House Correspondents' dinner on Saturday night. And I guess this is the first president in maybe the past 15 presidents who has not attended. Is that correct?
So far, yes. For the past 3 years. He's got one more year in the first term, so hope springs eternal that he may show up next year.
You didn't have a comedian, but you did have a historian.
That is correct. Ron Chernow, the author of the book that inspired that smash it on Broadway, Hamilton, was there. And he only mentioned, I think, the president once, but there were a lot of references to this administration in historical terms, and obviously from his perspective, not comparing his treatment of the press favorably to the way that other presidents did. As Chernow noted, most every president has a contentious relationship with the media, but we're in a new historical precedent with President Donald Trump.
It's been, what, 45 days or something? It's a new record for the record has been broken by the Trump White House, the longest run without an official news media briefing. Any light at the end of the tunnel in that area?
Well, Sarah Sanders did have a briefing for children last week in the briefing room, so there was that. I think there's two ways to look at it. Yes, this is the longest drought for not having a briefing by the press secretary. On the other hand, the president himself is probably more available in impromptu settings and answering questions from White House correspondents than perhaps any other president, certainly since I would say Franklin Roosevelt. And then there are also opportunities to regularly buttonhole Sarah Sanders and other administration officials on the driveway just outside the West Wing when they go to make their live appearances on Fox News. There are cameras, as you know, set up on the side of the driveway there. It's called Pebble Beach. And when she's walking back from Pebble Beach, she will encounter a group of TV cameras and reporters and will stand there usually for a couple of minutes and answer questions, as does Kellyanne Conway, the Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin occasionally. Larry Kudlow is a regular. So you can say in a sense that the briefings have become impromptu and they've moved outside.
What is that? How does that change your day and the, your fellow White House correspondents? You don't have to build the day, I guess, around the briefing anymore.
Right. Well, you just don't know when you're going to be able to get an opportunity like this. In past years, you would have on the schedule, there'd be a briefing at 2 o'clock, and you knew that the night before, usually, or first thing in the morning, and you could schedule your day accordingly. Now, you just don't know. And also, we'll get a what's called a public schedule for the president every day, and that will indicate whether different events in the Oval Office or the Roosevelt Room or out in the Rose Garden are open to the press or closed to the press. There is what's called the pool, which are designated representatives of different types of media organizations who go to these events if it's called a pool-only event. Now, sometimes closed events will suddenly open up as we speak. There's one about to happen in the Oval Office, I believe, is where it's going to be, with the president and the Baylor University women's basketball team. And the pool is about to go in for that. And now the big news will not, of course, be the appearance with the championship basketball team, but the president's answer to some impromptu question that is fired by one of the members of the pool. And at this moment, we don't know what that's going to be.
You've been firing a lot of questions out on the when the helicopter, before the helicopter takes off, the president seems to stop and answer your questions a lot, Steve Herman.
Well, sometimes it's a bit of a lottery, and also I get to ask him questions on Air Force One, and also on the tarmac at different airports when he comes over and talks to the pool, as well as when we're traveling to different states and countries. And I tend to ask more geopolitical questions, because for Voice of America, we have 45 language services and we broadcast to the rest of the world. And that would compare to the majority of reporters that are out there who are very interested in domestic issues.
1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Steve Herman is with us, White House correspondent for The Voice of America. Steve, it's kind of curious that the president's been talking about, gee, we ought to have, this country ought to have our own kind of news service. Does he not realize the Voice of America fulfills that role and has done that since, 1941, something like that?
Right. VOA has been around since the opening days of World War II. Our first language was actually Japanese, and the second was German before we even broadcast in English. Well, what the president might envision, of course, for a government news service would be quite different than what VOA is, because although we are 100% a part of the federal government, there is a firewall between us and any administration as far as dictating the contents of our broadcasts, except for the editorials that run on the air and on our web pages. So the president cannot tell VOA to run a certain story or not run a certain story or spin something a certain way. And as you know, the president complains almost every day about what he sees in the commercial news media. And also has complaints about sometimes how he's even portrayed on Fox News. So that idea was raised. I haven't heard of any movement, and certainly I can tell you since this administration has come into office, there has been no attempt to dictate to us what we should report or not report.
And the president does have a love-hate relationship with the media, it's safe to say, doesn't he?
Oh, I think that's very safe to say. That's very transparent on his Twitter feed most every day. Now, what's interesting to note, although he complains bitterly, and I've written stories about this for example, him using this phrase, enemy of the people, which whether he realized it or not at the beginning, has rings a familiar note back to the Stalin era in the Soviet Union. But there has been no action taken against any of the news media. And if you go back to the early 20th century with some presidents when there was more overt censorship against the media, and also I think, Bill, the Nixon administration is another time when the president had an enemies list and had the FBI spying on reporters and others. So there are some historic parallels where students of journalism history in the United States could argue that things were even worse than they were now.
All right, Steve Herman, White House correspondent, we'll let you get back to your duties there at the Voice of America. Thank you, Steve. It's always a pleasure circling back and talking to you, my friend.
Anytime, Bill. Love
Thanks
it.
A lot. Steve Herman, White House correspondent for the Voice of America. It's 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. It's the Buckmaster Show on a Monday. Coming up next, the Agave Festival in Tucson. Still has a few more days. Actually runs through this upcoming weekend, a big weekend. Todd Hanley, proprietor at Hotel Congress, and the kind of organizer of the Agave Festival is with us on the live line, and we'll talk with him right after this on 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Every day, your safety and freedom is protected by the service and sacrifice of our first responders and military. Please join us in this community effort to build the Southern Arizona Veterans and First Responders Living Memorial, a place to celebrate those who have paid the price for our freedom and those who continue to defend it today. Help create a space where these memories, past, present, and future, will live forever. Learn more and donate by visiting vfrm.org.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. The Agave Heritage Festival, now in its 11th year, hard to believe it's been 11 years already, in full speed ahead right now. And actually, they're looking forward to a very big weekend. Todd Hanley is proprietor at Hotel Congress. He's also the organizer of the Agave Fest. He's with us on the live line. How are you, Todd?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you, sir?
Doing very well. Tell me about what you had envisioned when this all came about 11 years ago.
Well, 11 years ago, it was just simply an event during Cinco de Mayo weekend to bring people downtown when downtown was a bit more desolate and wasn't a real destination. So that was the real impetus, and that event lived kind of in its existence for about 8 years until about 2015-16, when we wanted just to create a larger, broader, more diverse festival. So we added some culinary components, we added some education, and really the genesis of the festival at this point has become based on the vision of myself, but really also a gentleman named Gary Nabhan. I mean, I can't give him enough credit. And that's because of his work in the world of ethnobotany and food writing, and agave as his one of his passions. So 1 year it was a party, and now it's education, culture, history, but there's also a few parties here and there.
Do you know of any other city in the United States or even North America that does something like this?
There is a festival in early June, Marfa, Texas, which is this quirky little art town that I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yes.
Does an agave fest. So I copyrighted Agave Heritage Festival, so I'm keeping my assets close to me. But they do a festival, and they're really well-funded. So they have had a few of the same speakers we have had, but nothing to the scope or size or dare I say, quality of our festival. I think we're second to none outside of some wonderful festivals in Mexico. Bacanora, Sonora has a wonderful Bacanora festival, and then Jalisco has a tequila fest. So, but yeah, we're the biggest and the best, Bill.
There you go. Mezcal. Mezcal is, it's not all about tequila. There's Mezcal, the big player this year, I guess, huh?
It's more about Mezcal and Bacanora than tequila. Tequila is what it is. It's a wonderful spirit that drives big economic impact, but we're looking to be, for lack of a better definition, more boutique, more traditional in our approach. And Mezcal and Bacanora, Sotal are the unique spirits that come from the agave plants. And this year, we are, as we did last year, we have an event called Mezcal Mania. So we sell bottles of Mezcal through the Hotel Congress just to experience the opportunity for people to try it without having to come down and commit to an event. So Saturday, May 4th, we have a free family-friendly event called Agave Expo. And as a part of that event, we have Mezcal Mania, which is kind of just a flash sale, if you will.
How do you, from a taste point, give me kind of the bottom line, comparing to tequila, these other spirits you're talking about, Todd Hanley?
Well, I mean, because tequila can only be made from 100% Blue Weber agave,
right.
You have a more of a homogenous flavor, unless you're going with añejo or reposado. Mezcal, Bacanora, they all are made with many different types of agave plants, so you're getting so much more of that terroir that you hear about with wine. You're getting elements of the, you know, kind of the mineralities and the grassy, earthy tones. A lot of the mezcals can also kind of have a ode to citrus and different kind of complex flavors based upon the maturity of the agave plant. So, but the one main difference is, for the layperson, it's basically and I hesitate to say this, but we can simplify it down. It's a smoky tequila. Mezcal and Bacanora are smoky tequilas, but they're so much more complex and beautiful than just that simplification. But it's an easy way for people to wrap their arms around it.
Todd Hanley with us. He is the proprietor at Hotel Congress. He is the originator, kind of the creator, along with Gary Nabhan, of the Agave Festival. You've got a big weekend coming up. You had a successful weekend to kick things off. Why don't you give our listeners a chance to perhaps mark their calendars about what you have coming up, Todd, this weekend?
Yeah, this weekend on Friday night, we have an event with Janos Wilder at the Carriage House. We have five mixologists coming from all over the world, literally international, to pair up with some of our local bartenders in an event called Spirit of the World. It's an amazing cocktail sampling event with City of Gastronomy, Wild Heritage, local food kind of bites. That same night, we have Chris Bianco down from Phoenix, Pizzeria Bianco, Trattoria, wonderful James Beard Award-winning chef. He's partnering up with Chef Brian of Maynard's Market and Kitchen. We have the Agave Heritage Dinner. We also are flying in a very well-known mixologist named Tony Abu Ghanem, who is going to be pairing cocktails with the entrees. And then on Saturday, I'd mentioned the Agave Expo. It's a free event, family-friendly. And then Sunday, Cinco de Mayo, we just have a big, wonderful event celebrating the real kind of tradition of Cinco de Mayo at the Tohono O'Chul, and that one is from 10 to 2. So we have anything and everything from free to, you know, very cost-effective to a little bit more pricier events, and you can find everything on our website, agaveheritagefestival.com, or just call the front desk of the hotel and inundate them with phone calls.
How is the hotel doing is kind of one of the centerpieces of this resurgence of downtown. Todd, how would you characterize Hotel Congress at this point?
I would characterize it as the heartbeat, the soul, the nervous system, the muscles, the skeleton. It's everything. Downtown is nothing without Hotel Congress. We, for the last, you know, Richard and Shana, my mother and father-in-law, have been a part of the revitalization for 35 years. We're doing great. I mean, we're doing things to stay unique and relevant. A lot of businesses are, quite frankly, using a lot of our model because it's a successful model, staying authentic and real and honest with our approach. But we're doing fantastic. Our hotel rooms were just recently upgraded this past summer and fall. They're absolutely spectacular, 40 hotel rooms for a wonderful staycation for those. And the Cup Cafe, we know what the Cup Cafe is, just amazing, great food, big flavors, big portions, everything you want and going on a dining experience.
Well, I got to hand it to the family, and I remember interviewing Richard many, many years ago on the TV show about when downtown was struggling, so Hotel Congress was there. Been there since the modern beginning, shall we say. Yeah. You, 100 years, right?
Yeah, we turned 100 in November of last year. We finalized two big events in November of this year. We're doing a big block party, trying to get everybody excited to close out the centennial year. And then New Year's Eve, we're going to come up with something very special, but to remain a secret as Rialto Theater turns 100.
So to be announced, as they say. TBA.
you can imagine based upon the parties we throw, it'll be pretty unique.
Todd Hanley from Hotel Congress, thank you, sir.
Take care, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Bye. All right, we have a new lineup here at 10:30, The Voice. Jennifer English is coming up. Round the Table is the name of her program from 1 to 3. John C. Scott, 3 to 5. Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera comes up from 5 to 7. Then Dave Ramsey is back in Tucson, the Dave Ramsey Show, from 7 to 9 on 10:30 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. Change is good. It's happening right here on 10:30. Thanks, Bob Dio, for your support as well on this Monday edition of Buckmaster. I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.